Good morning, everybody. Yeah. Lovely summer day, isn't it? I like this. So, put one word up there today. Unity. Unity. That is, I think every epistle of Paul talks about unity. And it is probably one of the hardest things to maintain when you're talking about people. Right? Right? So you think about, you know, where we are as people, family unity. Okay? Yeah, okay. You think about family unity and, well, I can't talk to that sister because she's like this and that brother of mine, he's like that. And, you know, you can see, right? You have problems even in that nuclear tight little group of people. It can be a struggle to maintain unity, all right? And that is really the foundation of the building block of society. I mean, when God created husband and wife and family, He created the stones by which societies are built. And we have a society where, half the marriages don't last and families are, what do they call them, pureed or blended. Yeah, but you know, in other words, that you have everybody, you know, just all kinds of mixtures of craziness in it. And then you take that and you say, okay, so now we're going to, out of that, you know, with those ruptured little building blocks, we're going to build a community in Christ. Say, wow. And I think that I always think everything's harder. One, in the city. Two, in modern age. And Solomon says, don't think that things are so much better back then because you don't know about back then. You know, the guys back then were saying, oh, it was bad, you know, now, and it was even harder than it was before. So I think unity is a real challenge for us. It's hard to have the right relations with people. And look around the room here. And we've got people from all different kinds of backgrounds too, right? Okay, got men, women, different races running around here. You know, we got all these different kinds of folks gathered together, right? Okay, and so there's more reasons for disunity. Okay, we're not all the same. One of the things that the church, the modern church, talks about, if you want to build a church, if you want to have a, it's called the homogeneous unit. Isn't that nice? Doesn't that sound loving? It means that everybody's got to be the same, otherwise they'll break up. If you want to build a church, everybody's got to look the same, think the same, like the same things, and then you can build a church. I like most modern thinking, I don't like it. I don't like that at all. I don't think that's the kingdom of God. And I don't think it's biblical. So we're going to look at Scripture. We're going to look at what Scripture and what Paul said about building the community of God and being a part of that community. And we're going to start where we left off last time. I think we need to fix something back there. There, whoop. Well, that did it. There you go. All right, thank you. So last time, and we looked at these texts, Paul tells the Corinthians, or the Colossians, he says, look, you know, since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and set your mind on things above, and not on earthly things, right? Both of these, you know, one is, it literally doesn't say heart at all. It just says, seek those things that are above. And I say, have your passion set on the kingdom of God, on being God's person, and then have your mind set on that. And I've got to tell you, that is a challenge. It really is a challenge to forget about the world, to forget about the neighborhood, to forget about what neighbors are doing, to forget about what the television's saying, and on and on and on, and to think about God, and to think about, you know, the kingdom of heaven, and what is my life? How is my life geared and guided towards the kingdom? But that's what Paul says. That is the beginning of being God's people And that is the beginning of unity. The principles that govern the church, the community of God, are not principles that you find out here on the earth. They're principles that are from above. They're principles that are from heaven. Okay? They're principles that are God's principles. Of course, where do we find those? We find those in the Word of God. We find those in the truth of God. We find them encouraged by the Spirit of God in our hearts. You know, when we're doing things right, you ever notice that? When you're doing it right, when you're listening to the Word and then you're putting that into practice, you ever notice how the Spirit of God kind of, you know, tells you, isn't this good? Isn't this right? Doesn't this seem better? Doesn't this seem more like what you ought to be doing? Yeah, so we have that. Now here is the section I want to move to. He says we're supposed to put on the new self. It's being renewed in the knowledge and in the image of its creator. And you know, the idea of becoming more and more and more like God. Right? Being more and more and more like God. Here, there's no Greek or Jew, no circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free. But Christ is all and is in all. And I, you know, we can read that and we say, yeah, that sounds cool, but I don't think we know what it means to be Greek or Jew. So I'm going to give you a little help. See, there's a guy named Antiochus Epiphanes, 160 years before Jesus came. Antiochus was a Greek general who went into Jerusalem and he took over Jerusalem. And he was trying to change Jerusalem's culture. He was trying to change the culture of the Jews. So he made it illegal for them to circumcise their children. He made it illegal for them to offer sacrifices. He went as far as to take a pig into the sanctuary, an unclean, filthy animal to the Jewish people, and slit it and spread blood all over the Jewish sanctuary, right? He had people punished. He had children killed because they didn't follow his rules. Greeks coming in to the Jewish temple. All right, we're talking about a little bit of history here. We're talking about a little bit of you know. Oh yeah, I remember them. They did X. You see, you got it. All right, Antiochus Epiphanes. He is actually the type of the Antichrist that Daniel talks about. He was so evil and so against God and against God's people, and he was Greek. He was Greek. Now, years later, and these are only like the major incidents, you got to realize these things kept troubled relationships all the time, right? This was history. There was a time when the Romans were persecuting the Greeks, the Romans were persecuting the Jews and pushing them out of their places, and they were running for their lives. They went to hide out in some places, and some of the Greeks killed 5,000 Jews who were basically running for their lives. Mercilessly killed them. Here these people are looking for protection, they're looking for a place to hide, a place of safety. On top of that, there was a couple of hundred of years where the Greeks went around and they said, oh, no, I'm sorry, you can't speak your language, now you need to speak our language. That's why the New Testament is written in Greek. Yeah, the New Testament Bible, the Old Testament was translated to Greek. Why? So that people could read it in Greek. And if you weren't Greek, you weren't, you know, anything, right? Okay. So the idea was they did it. Not only that, but they didn't like gods that were not Greek gods. So they would go into your town and they say, oh, okay, yeah, you can have your temple or you can have your synagogue, but you gotta put Zeus in there. You gotta have your Greek god in there, and you'd better pay homage to him. You'd better worship him. You better give sacrifices or else you're not a good citizen. And they would go in and they would infiltrate the cities and they would do that. And then they would build like little Greek towns right next to the other towns. It's called Hellenization, turning everybody into Greeks, right? So you can you imagine This went on for a couple hundred years. There was murder. There were criminal acts perpetrated against the Jewish people. There was this ongoing battle for what's right and what's wrong, what's true, what's not true between Jews and Greeks. This is a history, isn't it? And so what does Paul say? He says, in Christ, there is no Jew and there is no Greek. Whoa. Now, do you hear that a little differently? Do you get that a little clearer? The idea of what that meant for them to hear that, what that meant for them to hear, there's no Jew, there's no Greek, after all those years of history, after watching people being murdered by Greeks and all that, and Paul says, yeah, you know what, that doesn't matter. In Christ, there's no Jew and there's no Greek. He goes on and he says, you know, there's also... there's no circumcised or uncircumcised. Now, if you were Jewish, you were taught your entire life, you don't shake hands with an uncircumcised person, in other words, anyone who's a Gentile. Anyone who's not Jewish, you don't shake hands with them. You don't touch them. You be unclean. You don't eat with them. You never sit down at a table with a non-Jewish person and eat. And you definitely never go into their houses. You don't think about marrying their women or anything like that. You stay away from them. They're unclean, piggish people. Don't have anything to do with them. And we're talking about now you're talking about over 1,000 years of behaviors. And can you imagine if you were a Gentile and you lived among Jews and you'd have these people walk by and, talk to the hand, man. I got nothing to do with you. You vile. You're foul, you know. Say, what made me foul? You Gentile. Get away from me. I ain't even supposed to talk to you. Remember, like Jesus sat down and the Samaritan woman, and she was shocked that Jesus, a Jew, would talk to a Samaritan, because that you just didn't do that. You don't talk to them, you don't touch them, you don't eat with them. They're unclean, and you treat them that way. And believe me, they knew it. They knew that's how you felt. They knew, ain't got nothing to do with you, you know. Well, and don't you think after a while they would go the other way too? Yeah, they stay away from them, and that's right. We don't want anything to do with those guys because they're a bunch of evil, nasty, hypocritical, judgmental people. Stay away from them, right? History. Thousands of years, hundreds of years. History, history, history. The whole thing of the barbarian. There's a statement that said if you're not Greek, you're a barbarian. In other words, ethnocentricity, we call it. If you're not part of my people group, you ain't nothing. Yeah, right? Okay, if you ain't one of me, you don't even count. There's a Dutch Reformed Church. They called it, called CRC now, Christian Reformed Church. They used to have a thing among the Dutch, say, and it was just a joke where they would say, if you're not Dutch, you're not much. Yeah, okay? You know, that kind of attitude, that kind of, now again, when it's a joke, it's one thing, but when it's lived out, it's a whole nother thing. When it's lived out, you're not like me, so you just aren't good enough. And then he goes to also slave or free. Meaning a person who might, be very well off financially, and a person that didn't have a decision to make for themselves because they were owned as property. So one person is free and able to live, and do what they want to do. And of course, James tells us, how rich people might look down on poor people, or poor people might think, man, them people, right? So what is Paul saying here? See, if you think about all these distinctions that were being made, Jew, Gentile, Greek, non-Greek, Greek, Jew, rich, poor, slave, free, every one of those distinctions, every aspect of that was something that was created by the sinful world in which they lived. Every aspect of separation, every aspect of distinction, every aspect of putting somebody else down and putting yourself up was based upon sin that is in the world. It was based upon a godlessness. It was based upon a lack of being God's person. And Paul says, listen, we are not to be people of the earth. We're supposed to have our passion on the kingdom of God. We're supposed to have our minds on the kingdom of God. We're supposed to be clothed with that new person of God. And in that, in Christ, there is no black, there is no white, there is no Hispanic, there is no whatever, you know? There's no rich, there's no poor, there is only Jesus Christ. There is only Jesus Christ. I've been here for 20 some years, and one of the worst things that I've ever encountered is being called a racist. And it's happened recently, it's happened often, because this is the most racist city in the United States of America. It is the most divided city in the nation of the United States, and there's a long, long history in Detroit. And I'm not talking about 1960s, I'm talking about 1920s, 1930s, when they decided that they were going to keep people pinned up based upon the color of their skin, or they weren't going to give people jobs based upon the color of their skin. And so they drew these lines, and they're still drawing those lines. They're still trying to put up walls. They're still trying to say somebody isn't as good as somebody else based upon melanin. Somebody isn't as good as somebody else based upon where they live. And I tell you that in the kingdom of God, that if your mind is seriously set upon the kingdom of God, if you are putting on the new creation in Christ, if you are really God's person, there is no room, no room for the racism of Detroit. There is no room on any side, on any side. It's one of the saddest things to me. I'm an outsider. I didn't grow up here. I came in here. And it has been one of the saddest things to me to see how divided and mixed up and messed up this whole metropolitan area is when it comes to issues of wealth and poverty and race. It is. And you know what's saddest of all to me is there the church reflects as much of the world. The church reflects the world much more than it reflects the kingdom of God. The church reflects the world. The church reflects the values of the world. So you have churches where only rich people go, and you have churches where only poor people go. You have churches where only white people go, and you have churches where only black people go. And you have churches that are divided by things that are built upon sin. They're built upon nothing but things of this present evil age, and they are nothing to do with the kingdom of God, because in Christ there is no black, there is no white, there is no rich, there is no poor, there is only Christ. There is only Christ. And you know, I want this on record. This is, you know, we have guys writing books about racial reconciliation saying, oh, what you got to do is you got to go back in the past and you got to dig up every bad thing and you got to get it out and you got to tell one another. You know, Paul didn't say to the Greeks and to the Jews, okay, before y'all can get along together, you need to sit down and talk about Antiochus Epiphanes and you need to talk about what those Greeks did back there. He didn't say any of that. He said, in Christ, there is neither Greek nor Jew. See, Jesus Christ changes everything. Jesus Christ transforms your world. He better transform your world. It better not just be a good little feeling inside. It better be the way you look at people. It better be the way you think about the world you live in. It better be about whether you can belong to what's out there and rather than what's up there, you know. We really need to be a people that belong to God. We really need to be a people that have Christ in us, and we are in Christ. And there is no room for that. You know, I thank God. I've told you guys, you know, most of you know the name of Elder Redwine. The first place where I went to church, I was the only white guy in the whole church. I was like the little marshmallow in the hot chocolate, you know. That was it. Then me, I stood out in the crowd. You know, wasn't much of a crowd, but I stood out. You know, and you know, I actually, you know, because of that, I started associating being, you know, black with being Christian, and the celebration that we had together and the love that we had together was so awesome, and I had real deep, wonderful relationships. But when I came to Detroit, I remember cold, hard stares from fellow Christians even. Just because I'm white. And I did not know, and I still don't know how to handle that. I mean, in other words, what has that got to do with anything? When I was in seminary, I was looking around for a church. I was looking for a denomination, and a friend of mine was from the Church of God in Christ, Kojic Church, which is, I had no idea, it's all black. And it basically is built upon, you know, black. And I told him, I said, well, maybe I'd be a Kojic, you know, pastor. And he just looked at me like, you know, do you understand what you just said, son? You know, you can't get in there, you know. And that's a shame. That's a shame. It's a shame that any of us would ever base our Christianity, base our worship of God on anything other than being in Christ. In Christ. What Paul says was, listen, to the Greek and to the Jew, when you come in Christ, everything in your past is gone. How many of you seriously, when you become a new Christian in Christ Jesus, right? How many of you say, okay, I am all new except for, and I want God to keep track of a few of my worst sins. Right? Y'all say that, right? Oh no. I want God to forgive me most things, but the big things He needs to keep in mind. Right? So why would we want to do that with society? Why do we want to say, I'm new in Christ, but I can't forget this and I can't forget that? In other words, well, you know, as much as God has been merciful to me, and He's merciful in the little things, and He's merciful in the big things, don't I want that mercy to extend to everybody who could ever call on the name of God? The idea of us sitting down and chatting about it, and I've talked to brothers and sisters and people about it, but to be honest with me, it comes down to one thing. Are you in Christ? If you're in Christ, then Christ, He doesn't just wash away my sin. He washes away all the sin that's ever been perpetrated against me in the name of this evil world, right? You know, because that's the thing, is what it is. Okay, yeah, it's sin, right? The barbarians were sinned against by the Greeks. The Greeks sinned against the Jews. The Jews sinned against the Gentiles. It's all sin. It's all people sinning against each other culturally. It's all, you know, wrong, evil, and nasty. And when Jesus Christ becomes your Savior, when Jesus Christ purifies who you are, you're no longer a part of that. You don't belong to that anymore. Unity in the body of Christ. That's what it leads to, is if you're in Christ, there's unity. There's unity. So, what do we do? Okay, there we go. So look at what he says. Look what he says. And I just gave you some extra definitions of these words. Therefore, as God's chosen people, right? That's what it means to be a Christian. God chose you out of the world. God chose you to be a kingdom person. He chose you to put on Christ. Okay? And he says, and you're holy. You're not like the world. You're holy. That's what holy means. Holy just simply means you are not like the world. I don't share their values. I don't follow their ideas of how the world should look. I follow God's ideas. My mind is on things above. My passion is for things above. Holy and dearly loved by God. Clothe yourself. Okay, I'm going to put on Christ. I'm going to put on compassion. Compassion means I can't look at a sinner without feeling sorry for him. You know, I've walked down these streets one time, you know, because people know what we do here. They know, I mean, you know, I wish this place was just filled with every kind of ethnic group in the world. And I think that's what the kingdom of heaven's going to look like. I think we ought to get used to it right now, because it's going to be glorious and beautiful and all that. And I'm walking down the street going home one day, and this guy saw me, and I think he was some kind of white supremacist nutcase sinner, you know. And I really think he was demonic. His eyes literally changed, and he looked at me, and he said, come over here. And I came over, and he looked at me, and his eyes just turned from kind of like just bloodshot. He said, white is right. And I said, man, you know, only one thing in this world that's right, and that's Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ isn't about white, and he isn't about black. And I just went on my way home, you know. But you got to have compassion on people. You can't let a guy like that get into you and say, oh, man, that's out there. No. that's out there, that sin that's out there. And man, we pray for God to touch that sinner. We pray for God to save that sinner. Everybody that's got that hatred in their heart, that you know, anxiety about another person based on race or color or money or whatever, we pray in the name of Jesus, God would get that out of their hearts. They have compassion on each other. There's tenderness towards each other. There's kindness towards each other. Kindness. I like you. Yeah, I like you. I wanna hang with you. I wanna, you know, what can I do for you? Kindness, you know. Humility. Humility is huge. The best humility was what Jesus did. Jesus became less in order to serve others. Humility is what stops the rich person from feeling better than the poor person. Humility stops the poor person from feeling better than the rich person, you know? Because sometimes we can take pride in our poverty. You know, well, I don't have that problem, you know? No, humility. Because you know what? I tell you one thing we all have in common. We need God. We need the Holy Spirit. We need God's gifts and God's grace. We're all poor in the sight of God. And we all need God's help. And so, yeah, humility, submission to God, unselfishness, gentleness. Again, that idea of being kind to one another, reaching out, right? Patience. You know what patience, you know the word macrothumia, means it takes a long time before you get angry with somebody. Take a long time before you get upset with somebody, you know? Now I want you to think about it. Here is the church. Here's what God sent His Son Jesus to do. He died for the church, right? So somebody brings in a racist word and He tears off a piece, right? Somebody brings in hardness of heart and He tears off a piece. He's angry about something. Something, you know, just wooden in there, right? Somebody else brings in selfishness. It's all about me. And they tear off their chunk, you know? And then somebody else comes and they're just mean and unforgiving. And they pull off their piece, right? What do you have left? You don't have anything left, right? You know, and look at those things. Those are the things that Paul said do not belong in the church. Those are the things that don't belong in Christians. But let me tell you, I've seen all of it. I've seen all of it in church. I've seen people do their little thing. I'm going to pull this apart and I'm going to pull that apart. I really pray to God that one day we'll see a church that's unified. And there's only one way to do that, you know. When you destroy the church with these sinful behaviors, it's no good. So what happens? Paul says, well, let's exchange some of these things. Instead of you know, hardness, let's have compassion and mercy. Let's start pulling things together. Instead of selfishness, let's have humility, where we don't see ourselves as the center of everything, but we realize other people are just as important. Instead of that merciful hardness and unkindliness, let's be kind and patient. Let's forgive each other now and then. You know, I mean, seriously, let's learn how to say, hey, guess what? I got news. The pastor's not perfect. Oh, wait, pick somebody up. They fell down, right? Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm sure if y'all got together, you could make a little list. You know, here's all the things wrong. Well, yeah, and you can do it with each other. Don't do it. Let's be patient and kind with each other. And instead of racism, let's be in Christ. Let's be in Christ. He said, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances. Think of this. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive just as God forgave you. This is something, folks, we got to be good at. We've got to be gracious with each other. We've got to learn how to let things go. And Paul, you couldn't say it any better, you know. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. So that hardness you might be holding against somebody, think about it. Okay, God, that's the way you're going to look at me? I forgive them right now. I let it go in the name of Jesus. I let it go, you know, because I don't want, you know, a bunch of stuff being held against me with the Lord, you know. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love. Love is supposed to be the bond, the glue, the energy that holds the church together. Love destroys all that junk that's in the world. Love destroys the power of sin. Love destroys the power of all the evil words that are said out there. He said, after you've done all this, after you've brought all this together, he said, love is the thing that holds it all together in perfect unity. You know, my prayer is seriously that, you know, we could build a church. Not build in the sense of just fill in this room with people. Build in the sense of this. That we'd have compassion and mercy and love. That there'd be kindness, forgiveness, patience, humility. That there would be love above everything. And that all of us would be in Christ. In Christ. That to me would be the church that Paul was asking us to be 2,000 years ago. Let us strive to be that church. Let us strive to be that people. That's what Jesus Christ died for. He didn't die for me only as an individual. He died for us as a people, as a church. And in Christ, there is no black, white, rich, poor. There's nothing but Christ. Nothing but Christ. Nothing but Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for all the good words that you've given us to think about, to live by. And I thank you for this church. I thank you for this group of people, Lord, that represent so many different people, so many different groups. But ultimately, we represent Christ. We are in Christ, a people, not a mixture, but a people. And we thank you, mighty God, that the power of the gospel is so powerful that it can tear down all those walls. It can remove all divisions. It can destroy the history of the past. It can create a newness in all of us so that there's genuine, pure love. I pray for us, God. I pray for genuine, pure love to be in us. That we would love one another, forgive each other, seek what's best for each other always, and that Jesus Christ would be glorified. Help us, mighty God, in this end. Amen.